This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 3rd at 10:43 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Republicans and Democrats who voted for Larry Householder as Speaker will form a receiving line to properly welcome him back to the House floor.
Give him some type of medal, some type of recognition.
Yeah, they caught him off. He caught him off guard this week.
What an awkward scene. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up later in the podcast, we'll look at Larry Householder's return to the Ohio House floor. This time is just a plain old state rep, not the speaker.
Poor Larry. But first, we thought we were done with them. We thought they were just a part of Ohio political history. Hyperbole on steroids. They are back. House Bill 6 ads.
It's the biggest corruption scandal in history. First Energy threatened our families, threatened Ohio legislators, and held us hostage for a $1 billion bailout. That'll go directly to Wall Street, not Ohio workers. Now it's up to state leaders to give in or fight back. Contact your legislator. Tell them no deals. Man, repeal House Bill 6.
Dun, 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 dun.
There's a lot of shooting going on in that ad. Really Star Wars.
The dire warnings and the scary music are courtesy of the Coalition to Restore Public Trust, yet another political group with a valiant name. This coalition of energy producers and green energy supporters wants lawmakers to repeal the law, which bailed out two nuclear power plants as well as two coal plants.
You know the story, but there's a lot going on. So to jog your memory, HB6 was the billion-dollar bailout of the two nuclear plants once owned by First Energy. Larry Householder led the effort to win its passage. Then federal prosecutors said he had lots of help. And $61 million of that help amounted to bribes, according to prosecutors. Householder and four associates were indicted on federal bribery and racketeering charges. Thus, the current effort to repeal House Bill 6.
Certainly has a cloud over it now. This week featured some movement on that front. New House Speaker Robert Kupp formed a committee to look at repealing and replacing Obamacare. Repeal and replace makes me think of Obamacare.
It's almost automatic we say that.
The committee will work on ways to repeal and replace the nuclear bailout. Kupp says the process cannot be rushed, though.
And to do something in a hasty and reckless manner is totally inappropriate.
So he has formed that committee. The committee does seem fair, split between Republicans and Democrats, also split between original supporters and opponents of the bailout. But it is not enough for some lawmakers who want an immediate repeal. House Minority Leader Emilia Sykes says they will do what they can to make an immediate repeal happen.
We've asked, we've waited, our constituents have waited. They deserve to feel trust in the institution that is making the laws and holds the purse here in the state of Ohio. And when they don't do that, we will have to find ways to act.
Among those who want to repeal is Mike Hartley. He's the executive director of the aforementioned Coalition to Restore Public Trust. And Mike Hartley joins us now. Mike, welcome to Snollygoster.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So let's
good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to have you. Let's take this corruption allegation out of this and look at,
yeah,
at the
luck,
law.
Steve.
It's not easy to do. It does keep nuclear power in Ohio's energy portfolio. Nuclear does not emit greenhouse gases. Subsidizing the nuclear plants saves thousands of jobs in northern Ohio. The lower electric bills, albeit by removing energy efficiency standards and incentives, but we'll have lower bills. Why do we need to get rid of this law?
Well, I mean, the very base of this is it is the centerpiece of the largest corruption scandal in state history. And I understand that you can't remove that without you can't separate the two. It is what it is. Every single word of this bill is tainted with that corruption, in short.
So the merits of the bill really should be put aside and relooked at, basically, is what your group is saying, without the cloud of corruption.
Right. Well, the bill was flawed at its beginnings. First Energy never answered the question of if they needed the bailout. And judging by the $800 million stock buyback earlier this year, they didn't. And so they need to answer that question. And The problem, what's flawed with the bill is you go back, and again, it ties into the corruption. Why weren't they forced to answer that question, right? When somebody asks the question, they say, well, we're gonna lose jobs. We need a bailout to save all these jobs and keep these plants open. It seemed like the answer to that, as opposed to a follow-up question of show us the work, show us your books, prove it, was okay, so that's an issue, right? Yeah. And so that then you kind of see what happened with, you know, later on after it's passed, this corruption scandal breaks, and you kind of realize, oh, there it is.
Even if it's not enough justification for your group and for others who oppose this law, view it as tainted right now, should lawmakers have a plan to replace it before it's repealed?
Now, so the one of the obviously in our name, the Coalition to Restore Public Trust, you need to restore that public trust, to restore the trust of Ohio citizens, constituents, legislators, you have to get this bill that is, again, the centerpiece of the largest corruption scandal ever in our state's history off the books. And then you can look at what that fix is, to use a historical term, the reconstruction, what that looks like, what energy, what the energy policy in Ohio looks like. That's a separate question. Our coalition is solely focused on the repeal of House Bill 6 in its entirety. And then you can't, because you can't do both. You have to get this thing off the books to restore the public trust, and then you can address it in an open, transparent, and accountable way.
Mike, that seems like a novel goal. Are you comfortable with risking, at least according to FirstEnergy, risking thousands of jobs by repealing this law without having a replacement ready to go?
They need to prove that. You telling me that the $800 million stock buyback, they never proved that they're actually going to shut down those plants. They claimed they were. They claimed it was going to cost jobs, but they never proved it. And if after House Bill 6 was passed, all of a sudden they're doing an $800 million stock buyback? That's kind of fishy.
Let's talk about this committee that Bob Kupp, the current House Speaker, announced this week. It's a, you know how committees work. We've all seen committees. Committees sometimes can be effective and forge a compromise and get to a better result. But a lot of times committees just sit on things for a while and delay things and water down things. What do you make of this committee idea in the way that the House Speaker, now he is looking to repeal and replace, which you oppose. You just want repeal. But what about this committee? Are you confident? Do you have any confidence this committee will do what you ask and demand FirstEnergy open their books before they do anything?
Well, first of all, like the coalition, so we're for repeal. We're not against replace, but one has to come before the other. So I just wanted to make that clear. There's a reason why there's a term called death by committee, right? I will say at first blush, this committee is it's well put together. It's not tilted either way. There's good people on there, obviously. So it's just a matter, are they going to be transparent and forthright and address the real issue? In my opinion, this is the type of committee that should be in charge of finding the solution after repeal. Mm-hmm. Repeal is pretty easy. Like it just move and get it done. Get this poster child of corruption out of our law in this state.
It sounds pretty easy, Mike, but you're a longtime political strategist. There are certain fallouts from making certain decisions. And would a lawmaker want to be associated with the repeal of a law that, while you are skeptical, could potentially, again, if you take FirstEnergy at their word, lead to thousands of job losses? Say you're a lawmaker from Northern Ohio. And you're a strategist. Would you advise that lawmaker to vote for this repeal?
What I would advise is, all right, then the other question is, would they want to be tied into as somebody who promoted the bill that's at the centerpiece of the largest corruption scandal in Ohio's history? I can tell you this issue is resonating with people. People know about it, okay? And here's the thing, we operate in, we're kind of apolitical in what we do. Our focus is to get this horrible, corrupt bill repealed. But you talked to me about being a Republican strategist, so I'll take that hat off and put on Republican strategist hat. The voters of Ohio, the constituents of Ohio, the citizens of Ohio, whatever term you want to use, they feel duped. When voters, constituents, citizens feel duped, they get really angry. And ultimately, it comes down to, you know, if they don't repeal House Bill 6, it sits out there. And if folks don't think that becomes a quote unquote campaign issue, not from our end, but I'm saying in the political world, do you think Democrats aren't going to run ads against every single Republican that has any kind of competitive seat?
But Mike, if you're a Republican who supports this measure, supports some kind of change to the current industry, you know, supports some of the tenets of House Bill 6 and the nuclear bailout for whatever reason, if you just repeal it without a replacement, then you have to vote for the bailout again. And that's a cudgel that Democrats are going to use against you as well, correct? Down the road?
This issue is obviously going to become politicized by Democrats, all right? I mean, it's just the way it is. So, but, you know, do the right thing. Like, okay, here's the thing, and we talk about this in the ad. First Energy lied to legislators, too. They lied to their workers. They lied, in fact, in the article in the Cleveland.com last week, they threatened, you know, Steve Arndt, he's in the story. He was threatened by First Energy about this issue, okay? So that is where, like, that's the thing. The catalyst of this entire corruption scandal is First Energy. And you know, the question at hand, Mike, is are we, Ohioans, we, the legislature, whatever term you want to use, are we going to reward that? They have to prove it. Everybody, like, honestly, everybody, nuclear, coal, renewables, natural gas, oil, they all have to prove, you know, what they're saying. And First Energy skated. They never proved it.
Speaking of all the laundry list of groups you just mentioned there, your group is a coalition, but it gets some, perhaps a good part of its funding from the Oil and Gas Association, which would stand to benefit if these nuclear power plants went offline or if First Energy's subsidiaries or whatever, Energy Harbor, I guess you'd call it now, has to raise their rates or whatever. Is this coalition just a way for the Oil and Gas Association, the oil and gas industry, to get what they wanted all along, was to defeat House Bill 6?
Well, I think if you look at the coalition members, you see, you know, between the Ohio Environmental Council Action Fund, AWEA, which is American Wind Energy Association, you know, even AFP, which is more of a conservative think tank, you know,
Americans for Prosperity.
Americans for Prosperity, sorry. Yep. And then you look at all the other folks that are involved, and we're continuing to grow. You know, we're having conversations with groups that want to get involved in this. These are folks that don't normally play in the same sandbox, right? But they come together on one issue, the repeal of this corrupt, albatross in our state law that was passed purely for reasons of benefiting First Energy. And that corruption scandal that's come out of it, that has galvanized all these different folks, a wide spectrum, to come together and repeal this bill. And to answer another part of your question, you know, if you look at, you know, the folks that are on this, I think the idea that, you know, Ohio energy policy shouldn't be dictated by utilities and such. It should be a competitive and open market for every source of energy. If you have a level playing field, I think everybody would be fine with that.
Big picture, what do you think Ohio's energy landscape should look like? What larger reforms should Ohio regulators take on? Whether that's the Public Utilities Commission, which has taken a lot of heat for HB6, or any other reforms that should happen to the energy marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, I if you're asking me, not my role as with the coalition. I mean, it's kind of what I said before. You know, I think Ohioans believe this too, that we should, you know, we have a wealth of everything should be involved. The portfolio should cover everything, you know, nuclear, coal, renewables, oil and gas, et cetera, you know, battery storage. We should look toward the future, right? It should be, we should have everything. We should be inclusive, right? Not picking winners or losers, having an open, which is what House Bill 6 basically was, the having a competitive market that allows for everything and let the market decide.
Mike Hartley, longtime Republican strategist, also the executive director of the Coalition to Restore Public Trust. Did you come up with that name, Mike?
You know, it's a pretty snappy name.
Yeah.
I think it's direct to the point.
You know, we're always wondering who comes up with these names, you know, like Americans for Prosperity or New Generation
Turning
Ohio
Point USA.
Or whatever. Anyway. Well, thanks for adding to the long list of names of folks fighting for and against House Bill 6. Mike Hartley, executive director for the Coalition to Restore Public Trust. Thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
All right, appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll be right back.
Is there something you've always wondered about Columbus? Like,
how did Circleville get its name?
Does Columbus have an accent?
How much has the NRA donated to Ohio lawmakers?
What happened to passenger rail in Columbus?
Curious CBUS is WOSU series that investigates questions submitted by you, our listeners. What have you always wondered about Columbus? Submit a question you're curious about today at WOSU.org/curious.
Welcome back to Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. We're back, and he is back.
But I'm not going to cause any problems here. I mean, I'm just coming here to participate and vote for the people in my district and do my job.
Oh, shucks. That's just plain old State Representative Larry Householder back on the Ohio House floor this week.
Of course, he's not just a plain old ordinary state rep back to do the people's business. He's the recently ousted Speaker of the Ohio House under federal indictment, the alleged political leader of a nearly $61 million bribery scheme to get the nuclear bailout bill passed. He says, of course, he has done nothing wrong.
You know, I understand that things got pretty wild there for a while, and I understand that. And those things happen. I mean, that's part of politics. When you get into the arena, sometimes those things occur.
Things got wild, Mike.
Stuff happens, Steve.
$61 million bribery schemes happen.
Alleged bribery schemes.
Right, that's
right. Don't forget.
That's right. It is alleged. It's not proven. Larry Householder is presumed innocent at this point, but what a shrewd. We'll get to that, why it's so shrewd here in just a minute. But my goodness, what a.
It's not surprising,
how
Steve.
How awkward was that?
No, I mean, it is not surprising. I guess we didn't think what it would be like when he returned, but the fact that he walked out on that House floor, Larry Householder, who is prone to thumb his nose at conventional practices, not surprised at all. He's not wearing a mask, as everyone pointed out, even though it's mandated. You know, but it Republicans were not happy to see him.
No, Bob Cupp said that he brought disrepute to the Ohio House.
It was offensive, he said.
It was offensive for him to come out on the House floor like that. He is still a House member.
Yes, he's innocent until proven guilty.
They want him to resign. A lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, want him to resign. Republicans just probably want him to go away at this point.
Well,
but
here's what it does. It puts it back in the news. 2 months before the election, the scandal is right there. It's on everyone's newspaper. It's in everyone's newscast. We're talking about it. Democrats denounced his return, but you know they were not unhappy to see him return because
it's great.
The culture of corruption returns. You know,
just like Mike Hartley said, they're going to run ads probably about this, and it's funny. Like how, of course, right? In hindsight, of course, Larry Householder did that.
Yeah,
the guy who shoots TVs on in political ads and talks about the liberal media, and he just walks out on the House floor, and I'm just here to do the people's business. No big deal. Nothing to see here, folks.
I'm sure his defense attorneys in the criminal case were cringing when they saw him approach or saw him speak
right.
to reporters.
No, our State House correspondent, Karen Kassler, tweeted about that, about when she said that he is actually doing a press gaggle. I was shocked.
No, he didn't. He's good. He's good. He didn't say anything. I don't think they would
no,
get him in
he
trouble.
Didn't say, no, he did not, but right, as a defense attorney, what would Mike Hartley tell one of his clients? No way.
No.
Shush. Yeah. Don't say a word. And Larry Householder was out there on the talking about how things just got a little wild, Mike.
That's right.
Things got a little wild.
Things happen. Well, he's not going to resign, and the House cannot remove him because they can only do that once, according to House rules. So he could get reelected and come back next.
He's running for reelection unopposed in the fall. So if they ousted him now, they could not oust him again in January once he's
I'm curious
sworn
to see
in
if
for
that
another
happens.
Term.
If he gets reelected.
He's running unopposed.
Well, there's write-in candidates.
Oh, come on. Who writes in a candidate? No.
Well,
he's going to win.
No, he likely will win, but it's not a completely unopposed. He does have write-in opponents. What happens when he takes office back again in January, when he comes back in January? Do they oust him then?
I would think so, yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Who knows what that political environment looks like. But
yeah, you can think the Democrats certainly would oust him, and then a good coalition of Republicans probably would too, to be done with it. If the case continues. Again, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Anyway, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award. It's where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week, and no doubt this week.
Yeah, it might not have been the shrewdest political move, but it was the boldest. Larry Householder's return to the Ohio House, almost as if the indictment for bribery and racketeering was a minor inconvenience for him and Ohio lawmakers.
Things just got out of control. Got a little wild. That will do it for Snollygoster this week. It's going to be hard to top Larry Householder next week, but if you have a suggestion for our Snollygoster of the week, send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. And as always, spread the word. Give us a good review on iTunes. Nominate a Snollygoster of the week, as we said. Just tell your buddies about us. Whatever it is, get the word out. As always, thanks to our student producer, Jack Long, our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBose. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.